and justice.
Good evening. It's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show is News Views. My name is Garland Nixon. I'm on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. I'm on WPFW 89.3 FM, your Pacifica affiliate in Washington, D.C. Don't forget, you can find us online at WPFWFM.org. That's WPFWFM.org. Also, you can listen to us if you're not, you know, in a car or somewhere where you can listen on the old-fashioned terrestrial radio. You can just go to WPFWFM.org and you can listen live. We are running live. That's great. And of course, it's a great website. In case you've never been to the website, there's a donate button. Always good to help us stay on the air. And of course, we've got our archive shows. So if you missed this show or you missed the show yesterday, just go click on the archive shows and just go to yesterday's or whichever show. You might have missed one of my shows a couple weeks back. So that's a great way to go there, download the show, listen to it whenever you want to, WPFWFM.org. In case you've never been to our website, it's a good idea to. And of course, all the activities we're up to. We have events and we have fun drives, and you can see who's, you know, on there doing whatever when we're running. We have the name of the songs up. So it's great. WPFWFM.org is the place to be. I really enjoy doing my show here, and I'm thankful to everybody who donates during Fun Drive and all the people who make this show happen. Katia is on the board tonight, and thank you very much for keeping us going. So when you call in at 202-588-0893, you'll be talking to Katia. And when you call in, two things: make sure that you're not using a speakerphone, and also make sure that you keep the phone to your ear. One of the problems that we have in talk radio is this: we have a delay, like a 10-second delay. So if somebody says something bad, we can hit the 10-second delay and we can kill it before it gets to the air and the FCC comes down on our back. Well, the good thing, that's great. The bad thing is, if you set the phone down, you don't hear me when I say, caller, you're on the air. You don't hear me for 10 seconds because the delay gets you. So make sure when you're on hold, you keep the phone to your ear. All right. I enjoy doing my show. Now, so here's the thing. I always like to start off by saying this because there's people that might not have heard the show before. A lot of people don't get me because there's a paradigm. There's a political paradigm, which I think is unhealthy, unfortunately, in the United States, and is you're either a Democrat or you're a Republican. You're either for Trump. Then it gets out of politics. You're either for Trump or you're not for Trump. Let's see. Oh, good old Cody's on the phone. Well, Cody, welcome. Cody Valentine is going to be on the phone. Awesome. Cody, our new engineering trainee. I'm looking forward to coming and meeting you. Okay. So I'm not in the paradigm. What a lot of people don't realize, the numbers have changed. In the United States, somewhere around 30% of the people are Democrats, somewhere around 30% of the people are Republicans. And actually, that only comes to 60%. The other 40% now and growing are like me. They're neither Democrats or Republicans. Now, a lot of them lean one way or the other, whereas I don't, because I'm not a person who sees politics through the lens of parties, and especially through the lens of people. I look at the system as a whole. And as I see it, you can disagree or agree not, I see it as a crumbling system. I believe that we live in an empire. I don't even call it a country. Countries don't need 900 bases around the world, but an empire does. A country doesn't need 900 bases. You know why? Because a country's not trying to overthrow governments around the world. Do you know how many governments the United States has overthrown? Like 80-something, either interfered in or overthrown in 80 countries around the world. Hey, but like 190 countries in the world, right? So we've been sticking our nose in other people's countries, trying to overthrow their governments, overthrowing their governments, assassinating their governments, overturning their elections. Oh, that's what empires do. Not what a country does, it's why an empire does it. We are the United States Empire. And there's actually a book out about that. that we're an empire that has to pretend we're not. We have to pretend we're a country. And in order to, why is that important? Because as we go around the world, I say we, I mean the U.S. government, overthrowing countries, they got to fool the American people into thinking that we're the good guys. What if, we're not overthrowing governments. We're standing for democracy. We're standing for independence. And as we overthrow government after government after government, usually at some point the Americans people will realize that the last war we were lied about. The last war was an unjust war. So when you say, what about Iraq? We weapons of mass destruction, all lies. Oh, yeah, sure, that one was false. That was fake. We were lied to. What about the one before that? The Vietnam War. Yeah, they did kind of lie to us about the Gulf of Tonkin. And that was, I guess we were lied to. What about the current war? Now, that one, they're telling the truth. So the game, it always works for the current war. Whatever the last war was, people figure out at some point that they've been had. Oh, we were lied to about the last war. Darn it. That one was all a fraud. What about the one currently? Or two or three. Usually we got one or two or three going on, right? Because that's what empires do. Oh, no, no, no. They're telling us the truth about this one. There are people like me, and I'm sure there are a lot of listeners, that kind of figured out the game, and we don't buy into the current war. Like, we're ahead of the game, so like, when the current war is going on and the government says, we're standing for independence and democracy, we're like, yeah, that's what you said before. And you were just trying to overthrow that government so you could steal their oil. That's what you're doing now. And unfortunately, there are huge masses of people in our country that it takes them to the next war to get it, right? It's like, no, Ukraine, we're standing up for independence and democracy. I'm like, yeah, like we were in Iraq. Oh, no, but sure, they lied us into a lot. But this time, and I'm like, okay. Give me 5 years, 3 to 5 years, and all the people that were running around with their blue and yellow stinking ribbons on, telling me how we're standing up for independence and democracy in Ukraine, 3 to 5 years, they'll be going, you know, Garland, perhaps in hindsight, we were lied to about Ukraine. I'll be like, you think? Now, by then, it'll be Taiwan or some other war. And you know what they'll say? But now, Garland, the Taiwan conflict now. Oh, now they're telling us the truth this time. But you're right about the last one. And the one before that. And the one before that. And the one before that. I'm just saying maybe you should catch up with me at some point. I'm just throwing that out there. How many times? I don't know. Maybe I'm saying this too often. How many times you have to be lied to? Like Libya, remember that? I was on the air with a guy named Mark Levine. I used to be on the air with him. And the U.S. was like, we've got to step into Libya because they're killing, they're killing their own people and their leaders siding with terrorists. It was all lies. It was all lies. What happened to Libya? The truth about Libya was that the leader of Libya, Muammar Gaddafi, had decided he wanted to start an African currency called the dinar, and it was going to be a gold-backed currency. Libya was the wealthiest per capita country in Africa by far. It was loaded with oil, and they were making in money, and he was, you know, writing his little green book, the green book. He was doing his thing. The people in Libya were happy. They were living well, and he screwed up. Muammar Gaddafi said, you know, I think I'm going to start an African currency. The African people need to come together for this gold-backed currency, and it'll be a great currency. And the U.S. and England said, perhaps we need to overthrow this government. And they said to the American people, he's mistreating his own people. Remember this one? They said, he's giving, what was it? He's giving the ED drugs, the blue pill. I'm not going to mention it on the air, but you know what I mean. He's giving that to his soldiers so they can rape the civilians. Susan Rice said that. Now we know it was a lie. Now we know the whole thing they told us about why NATO joined, and that was a NATO operation. They bombed it, they overthrew Libya, and they installed terrorists. Not installed, but terrorists took over because they wrecked the country. And now we know it was all a lie. But at the time, Mark and I were on the air. We were over on 11th Street, and we were talking about it at the time. And Mark was like, yes, we must do it to stand up. And I was like, Mark, every time they tell us they're going to overthrow a country, it's always a lie. No, not this time. We're standing up for the Libyan people. Well, in hindsight, Mark, if you're out there listening anywhere, you lost that one. And if you stand up for a war that the U.S. empire is doing, a couple years later, somebody's always going to say this to you. You lost that one. Every single time, because every single time it's a lie. That's what the U.S. empire does. And I don't know how many times it takes to get through people's thick heads that they're being had. Apparently, a million times. Some people never get it. By the way, the number is 202-588-0893. Now, Libya, right? They lied. Clearly, they lied. The whole thing was a lie. It was done to stop the African people from having their own gold-backed currency called the dinar. That's why it was stopped. Oh, by the way, did you know that Saddam Hussein, before they overthrew the country, said, you know, I think I'm going to start selling gold in currency. I mean, selling oil, same thing, black gold, Texas tea, right? I'm going to start selling oil in currencies other than the dollar. And the U.S. said, perhaps we need to overthrow that country. He's got weapons of mass destruction. Now, we know they didn't, and they know they didn't. But you're not allowed to sell oil in some other currency at that time, and the U.S. overthrew the government. And they lied to us about why. Now we come to the Ukraine conflict. They lied to us. I know why. But those of us who understand the conflicts, we know why they threw. Because the plan was, we're going to go to Ukraine, we're going to turn Ukraine, but we're going to pump up Ukraine's army, and then we're going to cause mayhem on the Russian border, and then the Russian government is going to go all discombobulated. They'll overthrow Vladimir Putin, and then the U.S. will come in and steal all the oil and gas and all of these wonderful commodities that Russia had. That was the plan. It was called the Ukraine Project. You can literally go online and search for a RAND document called Destabilizing and Unbalancing Russia. They literally wrote in 2019 what they were going to do. 1998, Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote a book where he talked about using Ukraine to take out Russia. That was the plan. So they wrote down for years, yes, sirree, we're going to get Ukraine together and we're going to use it to take out Russia. And then we can get access to all of their goods. And then when they got Ukraine all armed up and got the war started, and then they said to the American people, guess what, American people? We're standing up against a dictator. We're standing up against the evil Putin who for no reason at all just woke up and decided to invade Ukraine. And I'm like, now I know the American people ain't gonna believe that. They literally told you for years that they were going to use Ukraine to take out Russia. They literally said they were gonna do it over and over. Yes, sirree. They wrote documents about how they were going to arm Ukraine to destabilize Russia over and over. And then they did it and said, well, no, actually, there's the independence and democracy. That's why we're really doing it. And I just, you know what? I'll tell you where I was. I took the heel of my hand there and slapped it to my forehead and said, you have got to be kidding me. I don't know what to say about the American people. Over and over, they do the same thing. They tell the same lies, and no matter how many times they do it, a bunch of Americans walk around with blue and yellow flags. If they invade, not if, when they invade the next country, you remember Iraq in 1991, which I opposed. Yes, we're going to go save Kuwait. Yeah, that wasn't about saving Kuwait, but whatever the case, I'm not going to get into that, but here's the bottom line. They told people, you should put a yellow ribbon around the tree at home. Wear a yellow ribbon for the people of Iraq and for the soldiers in Iraq. And people got all these yellow ribbons. And I'm like, yeah, really? That's it? Yellow ribbons? That's a nice little twist on the old Imperial War stuff. Now it's a blue and yellow ribbon. What color? You know what? We should do like a pool. The next country they invade, what color's the ribbon going to be? Because the suckers will wear a colored ribbon. When they say to the American people, you put a bumper sticker on your car, it's got to be yellow for Iraq, blue and yellow for this war. Each war, each imperial war, when they lie to you and give you a pile of garbage about why they're invading country X, they should actually go to colored ribbons. I mean, let's face it, at one point they had a little colored tree thing and it was like, yes, it's if it's close to terrorism, it'll be red. And this indicator, if it's not terrorism, it'll be down to yellow. It's constantly terror. Remember that during the Bush? It'll be orange. And people believed it. They're like, hey, the terrorism indicator is red. Oh my God, I'm scared. And I'm like, no, if you hadn't noticed, the election is 2 weeks. It's always red before the election. Every single election, hey, the elections is 2 weeks. Let's see, what color is the terrorism indicator? Oh, coincidentally, it's red again. After the election, within a week, it's all the way down to green. I guess we're safe. We're always safe after the election because, like a sucker, you voted for the person you wanted to. They give you a colored ribbon. They give you a colored terrorism indicator. And I just sit there and I guess like an observer. You know what I mean? I'm the observer. I just sit there and I feel like, what was his name? George, the comedian. What's his name? I feel like, look, if you're in the United States, if you're in our world, you're in a crazy house. And if you're in the United States, you got a front row seat. And how many times do I need to go on about Vietnam and the transfer of heroin from the Golden Triangle? How about this? I got books behind me. Let me see what one of them is. The Phoenix Program. You know what the Phoenix Program was about? One of the things about the Phoenix Program was they had a bunch of CIA scumbags, murderers and assassins that they were using in the Philippines. You know what they were doing in the Philippines? Murdering and assassinating people so they could control the Philippine government, which they still to this day. Well, guess what they did? When they went to Vietnam, they took the murderers, assassins, rapists, and pillagers from the CIA in the Philippines, and they moved them to Vietnam. Isn't that just wonderful? And then what else did they do? In 1963, that is very prescient for today. We're about to go to the phones. Well, here's something they did. There was a guy that the U.S. put in power. His last name was Diem. I forgot his first name. They put him in power. And it wasn't working out real well because he was Catholic and only 1% of Vietnam was Catholic and he was favoring the Catholics. At some point, things weren't going well for him. He wasn't a very good puppet leader in South Vietnam. So the U.S. killed him and his brother. Killed him. I'm just saying to Zelensky, you might want to read the Phoenix Program. You might want to read a book about how things worked out for puppets in Vietnam. Really good. Zelensky's going to figure that out. But meanwhile, I guess I can't walk down the street in D.C. without seeing a blue and yellow flag and somebody telling me how they're standing up for democracy like we did in Vietnam and Libya and the next band of suckers and puppets that we will overthrow, install some puppet so we can try to steal all their loot. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Got some open lines. We're starting with Chris. Chris, you are on the line. Chris, are you there, Chris? I'm not hearing Chris.
Yes, hi, Nixon.
Chris, I'm all ears. Go for it, brother.
Hey, okay. I really appreciate your take on things. Obviously, yeah, no, you know, not going with any particular party or person. Or personality, cult of personality. I appreciate that. What I'm not hearing, though, is when you talk about the system, which I appreciate the analysis, but when we talk about the system, we're talking about the system of capitalism.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's ultimately what is at the center. When you talk about empire, it is the sort of flowering of capitalism. Empire is a representation of one of the ultimate forms of capitalism. The obviously ultimate form is fascism, but empire is on our way there. And everything you've talked about, all the goons, the CIA squads killing people, these are just servants for capitalists, for the uber elite corporatists that the Congress and the president all serve. So I just hope we can bring more of an anti-capitalist perspective into the mix, and that's what this call is about.
Well, Chris, you know, you make a lot of good points. But thanks, Chris. Anti-imperialism being the empire, the imperialism being a system of economic domination, a system of world economic domination. And, you know, that's what happens is then we get tangled up in parties, right? Oh, this party's the good party. No, that party's the good party. And I'm like, guess what happens? When the U.S. says, we want to bomb country X, both parties are like, yeah, great idea. We're going to overthrow country X. Yes, that's right. Hey, and of course, this is how you know they're up to no good. The leader of that country is a dictator. You ever notice this? Like, let me give you an example. Not that it's any of my business. Saudi Arabia. The leader of Saudi Arabia is the prince of Saudi Arabia. Like all through the Gulf states, right? Whether it's the Emir of Qatar, all of these countries throughout the Gulf states are run by kings, literal monarchs, some of them whom the British actually put in power, but that's a whole nother story. So they're all monarchs. You ever notice? We never say dictators. The only leader of a country that's a dictator is a country that we don't control. Usually they got a lot of oil and we got to overthrow them. And when somebody says that guy's a dictator, and I'm like, well, explain that to me, how the guy's a dictator. They can never do it. They can never do it. 202-588-0893. Max, you're on the air.
What's up, Garland?
Oh, man, life is good, brother. Life is good. The weather's about to turn, and I'm ready to do plenty of fishing. What's happening there, Max?
So I just for sake of time, I won't argue with you about other leaders of other countries being dictators, but I could argue with you about how Trump wants to be a dictator, and I could give you a clear cut of specific examples if you'd like.
Go ahead. Give me an example.
All right, first one. So let me find here my first example. So my first example of how Trump was a dictator would be that I would say in 2020, right, you know, he made numerous false claims, willingly false claims, to try to overturn the results of the election would be a big one. And then currently he's defying court order after court order with the disbursement of pay for USA funds and the firings that he's committing.
Make sure your mouth is closed because you're going away. I'm losing you a little bit. Go ahead, Max.
The president is hypothetically allowed to fire government employees, but he usually has to give an actual reason, and he has to make Congress aware, and they are allowed some form of due process. So I would say the plot to overturn the 2020 election and then just disobeying court orders are just.
Well, let me ask you a question back, okay?
Right.
If I try to do something in the United States, let's say I'm the president and I say, I'm going to do this. And somebody says, well, I'll take you to court. And they take me to court and the court rules on it and says, well, President Garland, you can't do it. That's not being a dictator. I got a right to try. But the court just overruled it. I mean, plenty of times, plenty of presidents that I may like or dislike. Obama did things against whistleblowers or did things and somebody would take him to court and they might win. So it doesn't make me a dictator if I try the court by saying, I think I can get away with this. And then the court rules, no, you can't. That's perfectly within the democratic system for a president to try to do something. And then the court rules that he can't do it. I don't see that as dictatorial. Go ahead, Max. And
so,
Trump. I'm not a fan of Trump by any stretch of the imagination. But if you're within the system and you try to do something and the system rules that you can't do it, that's how the system's supposed to work, isn't it?
Yes, but that's the thing is that after the court ruled different, if a court rules against, like when Biden tried to do the student loans, right, and mm-hmm. or the vaccines, and the court ruled against it, well, things changed. Whereas with Trump, he's not changing. He's still not dispersing the money. And then when he lost all his court cases in the plot to overturn the 2020 election, well, then the submission of the false slates of electors to the archives and then the conspiracy with Eastman and Giuliani to have lawmakers overturn the results and obstruct Congress's duties, right, that was illegal as well, because he wanted to go through with that illegal plot. His plan on that day was to have the certification delayed and then to –
Let me say this. You're getting a little bit into the weeds, and to be honest, and Max, I got to tell you this. When you're on radio, be careful getting into the details like that, because a lot of people don't know them, and like a lot of listeners will kind of glaze their eyes over when you get into like detailed stuff that a lot of people don't know. So you and I could have a discussion about that, but a lot of listeners will be like,
man, I want us to. When are we gonna be able to have an in-person debate? I wanna talk to you about this. I would love to talk to you about this stuff for an hour. You know, do I got to get more?
I'm at this point too. You know what? Here's the other thing. In my opinion, a lot of this stuff was tried on November 5th. November 5th, a lot of this stuff was tried. All the claims of Trump on November 5th, to me, were tried. And the American people voted one way, and it is what it is. We might not like it. Hey, I wanted Jill Stein to win by myself. But the bottom line was November 5th, in my opinion, you can argue there was a trial. And Trump won the trial, as far as I'm concerned. And the rest of it, we could argue about it. But the American people have spoken, and I'm going to go with it. I mean, I don't like it. My person didn't win, but the American people spoke. So why should I keep beating myself over the head about a lot of idiosyncrasies and trivialities that the American people didn't really care? It didn't. None of that worked. It's over. It's done.
I mean,
what do you think of that, Max? Max?
I mean, no. So now it didn't, because we have amnesia. We have amnesia for sure. So now it definitely didn't work in 2024.
Yeah.
But I will say,
right,
in 2020, after the
attack on the Capitol, I would say his approval rating fell all the way to like 20-21%. And I mean, I guess just you, maybe you're right. Like, it didn't work in that sense. I guess it's just,
What's the point of doing that? The guy won in a blowout. That's the reality.
He won by a few million votes. It was the smallest popular vote whenever. I guess it was an electoral blowout, but the popular vote wise, it was the smallest popular vote.
Well, Max, let me say this. You got to look at the trends. 89% of the counties, he improved his turnout. Man, that is a blowout. When you got 89% of the counties move towards the person, and from the perspective of trends, the Democrats got to be horrified by that. They got to say everybody's shifting towards him and away from us. And that's problematic for the Democrats. I just say this, Max. The Democrats have to look inside and say, we got to do something different because people really don't like who we are or what we're doing. And I don't see them doing that. I think the Democrats need to focus on their party and what they need to change. And instead, they're still screaming about Trump. And they already lost that argument.
And I guess, I got two questions because I know you got to go. Two questions real quick. I'll make them quick. All right. So question to that. So the Democrats do need to be introspective. You're right. But why is it when the situation reversed, right, in 2020, the Republicans didn't have to be introspective? They could try to overturn the results and run with the same candidate. And then my second question is, what's your opinion on liberal pioneer investigative journalist Greg Palast's Elections Commission's data proving the 1949-1950 style KKK voter purge in Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania of black voters and mail-in ballots? It was a historic.
I've worked with Greg Palast, know him well. Haven't talked to him in several years, but I know him well. But one of the complaints that Greg Palast always had was that when he worked on election interference issues, very valid election interference issues, he could never get the Democrats to work with him. He was like, no matter how hard I work, they won't work with me on that issue. I think the Democrats should have worked with him on that issue. But I do think, notwithstanding that argument, I think they got their clocks cleaned. I think the Democrats, the thing that should really concern the Democrats is various constituencies that are traditionally Democrat. Black males, pretty much every Democrat demographic that is traditionally a Democrat, that they always vote Democrats, lean towards Trump. They lost voters in all demographics. That's why I say, if you're losing them everywhere, you got to look in the mirror and stop making excuses and say something's going wrong for us. Go ahead.
Percentage, only 22% of black men voted for Trump. So
only. Wait a minute. Obama got 96%.
Well, no. So the total percentage, though, it just all together, Kamala got.
I got to go to another caller, but I'll ask you this. Don't you think if you go from 96% of black male voters to 88%, or wait a minute, excuse me, 78%, don't you think you maybe should look in the mirror, Max, and say we're doing something wrong? You get the last word. Go ahead.
I do agree with you on that. I do. But I just wish, and I mean, maybe it's just because a lot of those voters won't be convinced until Trump continues to ruin the economy for them. But I just feel like Republicans don't have that same introspective take when their candidates lose. They don't need it right now because they won in a blowout.
But at any rate, thanks a lot, Max. I got another caller, so I understand and I appreciate it. Since you and I don't necessarily agree on politics, the same with me and the Republicans. We don't agree. They think the Republicans are great. You think the Democrats are great. But I appreciate it. And I want to give you an option and even give you a little more time, because when people disagree with me, I think they deserve to be a greater part of the conversation than those who agree. All right, 202-588-0893. Mr. K, you are on, Special K, you're on the air.
How you doing, Garland? Listen, I want to tell you, I applaud you on your show. You're full of information. I'm glad you have a bunch of books behind you that I know you've read. I want to tell your listeners out there about a book I'm reading right now, and it has to do with the Iraq pre-invasion. The book is called Hubris, HUBRIS. The author is Michael Isikoff and David Korn. I implore your listeners, please read this book and educate yourself on the lies about that illegal invasion of Iraq, and that the people of Iraq did not need America's freedom, and they still don't have it. I wanted to say that, darling. I appreciate what you do, but I want anyone that can get this book to read it. It will open your eyes about the lies. I'm really surprised. It's no wonder the U.S. is not a party to the International Criminal Court, because if they were, the president, the vice president, the secretary of defense, the NSA, all of them would have been brought up on charges for that invasion of Iraq. But you see, none of them were. Not to mention the treatment of the people that were deported or stolen and taken to other places and tortured. So that was my comment, and I also wanted to put that out there. And thank you for everything, Garland. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you. The book I read on Iraq that I remember, I read a few, was called Imperial Life in the Emerald City, Inside Iraq's Green Zone. And, you know, it was unbelievable. I remember there was a chapter, I think, called something like Grab a Duffel Bag or Bring a Duffel Bag. And what it was about was these guys who went to a country next to Iraq, somehow made their way into Iraq, got in the green zone, and they were giving away contracts. And they were like, yes, we can provide vehicles or something and safety and security details and all of that, right, in the green zone. And they couldn't do anything. They couldn't do it. It was just life. And they bid for some contracts. And they got the contracts for like millions of dollars. And the guy contacted his buddy and said, hey, bring some duffel bags. Why? To put the cash in. They took millions of dollars and left. It was just money laundering. Well, apparently we're about to take a break. So we're going to take a very short break and station announcement and stuff. I'll be right back.
African filmmaking from all corners of the continent and across the diaspora is featured at the 21st New African Film Festival, presented by AFI and Africa World Now Project at AFI Silver Theater and Cultural Center in downtown Silver Spring from March 14 to the 27th. The festival features 29 films from 19 countries, discussions with filmmakers, and more. The 2025 New African Film Festival features the diversity of new filmmaking from Africa. Tickets and full schedule at AFI.com/silver. That's AFI.com/silver or at 301-495-6700. That's 301-495-6700. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
All right, I'm back, and oh boy, we've got some callers. We got Winston. Winston, what's happening there, Winston? You know, I knew a Winston that was from the islands. Was it Jamaica? What's happening, Winston?
Not much, man. I really appreciate your show. I've been tuning in here for a while. First thing I want to touch on is how, you know, we hear all this stuff about the Congo. And, you know, started with Leopold back in the day, and then we had the Palm guy come in. And now they're being exploited for all the cobalt. And I'm just wondering when people are going to put together the fact that, you know, all these devices that we carry around are funded by the exploitation of those people. And this past holiday season, you know, the big old Verizon ran a commercial where they essentially tried to get people to break their phone and turn it in and get a brand new one. And that system is just destroying us. And I don't understand why people don't put together the fact that that violence is directly related to the fact that you got to get a new phone every two damn years.
Well, let me throw this at you as just an example. You know, people may wonder, why is this? Why is it that I can buy some apples that were grown out in Westminster, Maryland, and they're like $2 or $2.49 a pound, right? But I can buy bananas that were grown in South America 4,000 miles away for 40 cents a pound. Why is that? Because we're exploiting the people in the countries in South America. We're overthrowing the governments. We're installing puppet governments. We're doing massacres, all kinds of terrible, terrible things we're doing. So my point is, bananas. Nobody thinks to themselves, hey, banana grown in Guatemala. The people of Guatemala are really, really poor, and I'm only paying a fraction of pennies, considering most of what I'm paying for that banana is the transportation here. Why? How many times did we overthrow the government of Guatemala? So my point is, What Americans don't understand is they think they're living in a luxury liner and they're living in a pirate ship. You get my point?
Yep. And I couldn't have put it better. And you definitely see with the preferring the landowning elite, and like you said, all the governments have been displaced. And then the so-called saviors of Democrats, they put Alyssa Flockin out there, who's the former George Bush rep, to reinvigorate us. I got to tell you, I've never felt more demoralized and have less hope in creating change. I just feel.
Well, how about this? You turn on the so-called liberal channels, you know, oh, it's MSNBC, and they got Nora O'Donnell. Gee, wasn't she the spokesperson for the Bush regime, you know, that overthrew the... And now Bush comes back, and Obama and the Democrats, they love him. They're hug. Oh, George Bush, the man lied us into a war. Well, wait a minute. Every president lies us into war. So, you know, they demonize George Bush when he's in office. Oh, he's terrible. He lied us into a war. And then Obama comes in and lies us into war. And Biden lies us into war. They all lie us into war. You know what I mean? So at the time when it is, when it's beneficial to the given party, they'll say the guy on the other party is a bad guy. But once the guy gets out of office, they love him and hug him because they're all, you know what it reminds me of? You go to a play. I've said this many a times. And there's the bad guy. There's a guy gets shot in act three. There's a good guy. There's a child. At the end of the play, guess what happens? The curtains come up and all of the actors are standing side by side holding hands and they bow. That's all it is when we see George Bush, Trump, Obama, Clinton, all standing side by side at Carter's funeral. Yeah. They're all standing by side by side, chucking and grinning. And then when they leave, oh God, we hate Trump. They were golfing with Trump. They were going to each other's children's weddings. We're being had, brother. Go ahead.
Yeah, I couldn't put it better. And at least Trump's blatant with it, right?
Don't you think when Trump gets out of office, they'll be hugging him, giving him candy? He'll be their best friend.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to change, Garland. We're going to have to keep
tuning in, I guess.
Keep donating to WPFW.
Now you're talking. Thank you very much. The number is 202-588-0893. That's what's hilarious. It was like a person like me, I'm watching the election. They're like, Trump is Hitler. He's the next Hitler. He's going to kill you. He's going to eat us all. And then Trump wins and he goes to the White House and Biden's like, Trump, old buddy, old boy, come on in. You know, hey, I tell you what, we're going to have a peaceful transition. And I'm thinking, but you just told me the man was Hitler. Well, you wouldn't have a peaceful transition with Hitler. It was all lies. It was all lies. But, you know, there's a lot of people that buy it. Oh, Trump's Hitler. All right. 202-588-0893. Gabe, you are on the air. What's happening? Gabe? Oh, no. No sound from Gabe. I wonder if Gabe is giving him his 10 seconds of fame. Well, Gabe's not there. Hopefully, Gabe will come back at some point. The number's two. What's that? All right. Oh, Mike. Hey, Mike. Nope. Okay, Robert. Robert, you're on the air. We're struggling, but we've gotten to Robert. What's happening, Robert? Robert? I heard a little bit of a from Robert, and I think that was about it. I hope we're not having trouble with the phones. Hello? Well, we're working on it. I don't know what's going on, but we're going to keep trying. Okay, let's do this. Next caller, you're on the air. If you can hear my name, you're on the air. If you can hear me.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Mike from D.C., brother.
Oh, man, Mike from D.C., man. I don't even have a show until you show up, brother. You're more important than me on the show. What's happening?
You know, I'm starting to believe that the Republicans are getting a little bit too overconfident because I'm seeing a lot of anger right now with Trump cutting all these jobs. And I know some people that are Democrats, independent Republicans, and some of them say they might vote Democrats just to get back at Trump for cutting all these jobs. But when you take away somebody's livelihood, and that affects them differently instead of just, hey, take one for the team, you know, hey, it's okay for the corporations to get the corporate welfare, but
you know, for you, you know, oh, you know, take one for the team. We cut, you know, we're trying to get the economy, you know, the budget. And I'm like, that's not going to work when people.
Oh, I'm curious about it myself. I have friends and family members that are facing that crap. So I am with you. I'm furious about it.
Yeah, so I'm just saying the midterm election, because before during the red wave, the Republicans got overconfident and they thought that they had it in the bag. And then when the women came out in droves because they were talking about the abortion thing, and then they put them in a place, and I got a gut feeling. Now, I could be wrong. I got a gut feeling the same thing is getting ready to happen on this upcoming midterm election, because, you know, I told a conservative radio host, I said, you can't just take people's livelihood away and think that they're going to just take it for the team. Because, you know,
well, let me give you some commentary on that. I am furious about it myself. I am a person that stands for the working class, right? So I am furious about it. But let me say this. The reality is this. Let's go to reality. The majority of these people, sadly to say, the biggest numbers are going to be in the DC, Maryland, Virginia area. That's where the big numbers are. And they already don't vote Republican, so they ain't going to lose a lot. It's not like they're going to lose an area. Now, and outside, there'll be some areas here and there, but outside, that's where the big numbers are. Additionally, what they're doing now is austerity. 2008, 2009, they did it in the private sector. It was, let's get rid of all these good. Remember, people used to have jobs in the private sector where they had good benefits, where they had retirement. 2008, 2009, that was the opportunity for the ruling elite to get rid of, lay off all of those private sector jobs. And now they're going after the public sector jobs and doing the same thing. They're going to get rid of them. They will replace them with two things. They'll replace them with AI. And what's going to happen? 6-8 months a year, they'll find out, oh, we fired all of these people and the government don't work, which they already know. They'll replace them with AI, number one. Then they'll say, well, we're going to hire people back on contract with no benefits. They're going to do the same thing. This is the austerity that they did to the private sector. And now the system is doing it to the public sector. That's what brother earlier was talking about, capitalism. That is austerity. When the billionaires and the rich people can't make money, increase their profits any other way, they increase them by jamming the people in the private sector. They're going to fire all these people. Let me add this. When they come back in the private sector, you know what it'll be? It'll be contractors. In the public sector, they'll say, well, we got to rehire a bunch of people. Here's what we'll do. We'll bring corporations in and they'll give the contracts to corporations. It'll cost twice as much as it did. This is a scheme to privatize government, to go to AI and all that stuff. This is what they did to the private sector. And now they're bringing it home to the public sector. It's horrible. This is what this rotten system does. It shafts the working class. And now, sadly, the private sector, it's their turn to get shafted. Excuse me, the public sector's turn to get shafted, just like the private sector. Go ahead.
Saying that this is a golden opportunity for a third party, especially if one come around that don't go too far to the left or to the right, they're going to be popular automatic because people still don't like neither one of these parties. This is a golden opportunity for a third party.
Yeah, there's one other thing I got to add. And this is going to be a problem for the Democrats, just politically speaking. Trump's latest bill as far as tax cuts, it's $1 trillion tax cuts to the middle class. It is about a quarter of $1 trillion is going to be in no taxes on overtime. About $250 billion is going to be no taxes on tips. And about $500 billion is no taxes on Social Security. So if you're on Social Security, you won't pay no taxes on it. If you work overtime, blah, 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 which all goes to the working class. If Trump gets that through, which I suspect he will, that's going to be a big bonus for the Republicans for the midterms. So I think, I'm neither one. I think it'll last for a while, and then all of that will melt away because this is a collapsing capitalist system. But I'm just saying, if that bill gets through, and it probably will, That's going to be when all these people on Social Security wake up and say, wait a minute, I'm getting a Social Security check, and they don't take taxes out of it. If that bill gets through, that will more than make up for the punch they're going to take from firing, as far as the midterms, from firing all those people, which I abhor and I'm furious about.
And you get the last word on that, Mike. You're right about what you're saying. And when it comes towards the Democrats, I have no sympathy for the Democratic Party. None.
Oh, they committed suicide. They committed political suicide. Well, you know what? Thanks a lot, Mike. Before I go to the next caller, I'll say this. The Democratic biggest party is for problem is foreign policy. They become the party of war. Trump, and let me add this. If Trump ends the Ukraine war, which the majority of Americans are always, every war, it starts off popular, and then the longer it goes on, the less popular it gets. Every war starts that way because there are always, you know, lies in a war. If Trump stops the Ukraine war, the Democrats are standing for a war. That ain't never good. The American people are always, that's going to slam them in the midterms. They've become the party of war. If you want to win, you got to be the party of the people. You cannot be the party of the people and the party of war. The party of war is never the party of the people. The benefit the Democrats had were both parties were the party of war, so it didn't hurt them. But now they're the party of war. If Trump stops that conflict, man, the Democrats are in deep and serious trouble, and they don't get it. And I'm no Trump fan. I'm just evaluating politics. All right, Samuel. I think Samuel's next. Samuel, you're on the air. Next caller, you're on the air. Try next caller. We're struggling a little bit, but we're going to get there. Next caller, you're on the air. Nope. I guess I must have. Maybe I ran my mouth too long, and maybe I lost the next caller. Okay. All right, we're getting another call room. Hello, right, Greg, you're on the air. What's happening?
Hey, how you doing, man? I love your show. I agree with you the majority of the time, but I do agree with you on two issues.
Okay.
There's what the one contradiction is, you agree that our government goes around the world overthrowing governments and installing puppets and stuff like that. In other words, fixing elections. So what makes you think that they didn't fix this last election? Or because they've done it before, for sure. So,
well, let me say that.
We don't know if Trump actually won or not. And then also, I don't think it's clear that Trump wants to be a dictator. Now, and I wouldn't downplay or lampoon the danger of Trump. Not to say that he's no more. Well, he is more dangerous than most of them because he wants to be a dictator. And he's making moves to become a dictator.
Let's talk about both of those, okay? One at a time, okay? Let's talk about those. Number one, and I've made this statement before. I'm a big Commanders fan. The Commanders lost to the Eagles 55-23. How foolish would I look saying the ref stole it? It was a blowout. I wouldn't mean the ref stole it. The ref didn't steal about 35 points. They got blown out. That's the way I feel about the Democrats. They got blown out. They lost in every category. I went to Baltimore City. I seen a brother driving down the street with a Trump sign. I said, the Democrats are done. I predicted that the Democrats would lose. The polls predicted that they would lose. Listen to this. The polls predicted that they would lose every swing state. The week before, go back and listen to my show. I said, I think they're going to lose every swing state. I think they're going to blow. Everything around said they're going to get blown out. And the exit polls said they got blown out. Every metric you could find said they were going to get blown out. And they got blown out. To me, the idea that the Democrats didn't get blown out, the Democrats are done if they can't accept the reality that they got blown out. If you can't accept that losing 35-23 is a blowout and you need to make some changes, you're going to get blown out again. Go ahead.
Okay, and my response to that is two things. First of all, just like they had what they call built-in obsolescence where, you know, you kind of like throw a monkey in a wrench deliberately, I thought that the Democrats picked the absolute worst possible candidate, and also they ran on the absolute worst possible platform. And that
agreed.
Is to say that most, huh?
I said
so
I agree.
So it was much stupid on a monumental level. But this is
But was it stupid? Was it really stupid? But let me give
you
a different angle.
The majority,
that's who the Democrats are. It wasn't stupid. Okay, but they did. That's what that party has become. It's the party of Liz Cheney. You and me was like, why would you go wandering around with Dick Cheney's daughter? Because that's why they lost. They have become the party of Dick and Liz Cheney. That's why they lost. It wasn't an accident. They didn't accidentally pick Liz Cheney to run around. That's who that party is. And if that party don't change, the party of Dick Cheney ain't going to win. Go ahead.
But I was just saying that, okay, it's a fact that even black people are more conservative than most, right? So why would you run a platform that emphasizes all of the crazy stuff? And I'll just leave it like that.
Because that's who they are. That's an easy answer, because that's what the party is now.
But if you're serious about winning, you don't do that. That's all I'm saying. So to me, you couldn't be serious about winning an election in this country when the majority of people in this country are either middle of the road or conservative.
Let me throw one other thing at you, though, Samuel, since we're on here. We got a minute.
And I'm Greg. I'm Greg, by the way.
Oh, Greg, I'm sorry. But thanks a lot. This is a great conversation. Appreciate it. Here's the other part.
Sure.
You got to look at the way that they actually governed. I think they lost because of the way they governed. One of the things, as a radio show talk show host, right? Here's what I kept hearing. Man, they got all this money to send to Ukraine. Man, they got all this money for Taiwan. Man, they're sending all this money to Israel. Man, what about here? They were a party who focused totally and completely on foreign policy and particularly on war. The American people don't like war. The American people want you to spend money in America. The way they govern was a party of foreign policy and particularly war. They spent all their money over there and people were angry. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons they lost. Go ahead. What's your comment, brother?
I agree. The last thing, you know how they talk about, you know, what's a tell, something that gives away what your real agenda is. I think that when the Supreme Court ruled, I think it was either in June or July, that the president can't be prosecuted for anything he does while he's in office, for all intents and purposes, making him a dictator. I knew that legislation wasn't passed for Kamala. I thought that legislation, I thought it was a wrap from there. I knew.
Well, first of all, let me add this. It's a conservative Supreme Court, so you know they're going to always rule towards the conservatives. And I blame the Democrats. Why didn't Obama do what he had to do? He wouldn't fight to put Merrick Garland in. Then they ran Hillary, the worst candidate they could find, and lost. They thought Hillary was going to win. She was sickening. Hillary is unelectable. So the Democrats created an environment by running lunatics like Hillary and absolutely brain-dead people like Kamala. They run people that can't win, and then they say, I think Trump stole it. I think the Russians stole it. I think you should run a decent candidate because Trump is very beatable if you run a decent candidate. You know, let me give you an example, and I want you to comment on this. Oh, no, but you know what? Let me go. I got to get one more caller, so we got one more caller. All right, well, thanks a lot. Appreciate the call.
You.
I want to get to my last caller, Keith, because I got to go in like 3 minutes. Keith, you're on the air.
I got a question to ask you.
Okay, go ahead.
When are the American people going to wake up and take back their government?
You think they ever had it? I don't think the American people ever had the government. I think we live in an oligarchy. We've always, they try to make us think we have it. I don't think we ever had it. Go ahead.
Yeah, but okay, if we never had, but let's go by the Constitution says a government for the people, by the people. And you're right, they never had it. But when are they going to, other countries have woke up and took back their governments. When are the American people going to wake up? See, we're too divided by race, class, and all of these other issues that is really relevant to nothing. But they're getting the American people are getting their butts kicked. When are they going to wake up and take back their government?
That's a good question, brother. They threw us under the bus 40 years ago. You know, 1980, they started throwing us under the bus, and we ain't got out from under the bus yet. But they keep us arguing amongst each other. We're arguing exactly. over race. This guy's not vaccinated. We got to hate him. This guy votes for somebody we don't like. We got to hate him. This guy's the wrong religion. We always got to hate somebody for some reason. They always got a reason for us, for the working class people to fight amongst each other. When the working class people wake up and realize that we have that the rich people all work together. And let me add this. And that these puppets in Congress and in the White House, puppet after puppet, don't represent us. They represent the people, the rich people, and they keep us fighting against each other. Go ahead. You get the last word.
Whoever thought that federal, I bet you there's thousands of federal workers that never thought they would be without a job.
Let me throw something at you. During COVID, when the government fired a bunch of people because they wouldn't take the vaccination, I was just as pissed. I didn't get fired. I was retired. But I was like, wait a minute. Somebody's a fireman? And all through COVID, they're responding. People are locked down. These firemen respond. These nurses are in the hospital risking their life. These nurses are working like whatever, night and day during COVID. And then all of a sudden, you're going to fire that nurse and that fireman because they won't take the vaccine? I was just as mad, and I'm furious now, but I was just as furious when they fired the unvaccinated as I am now when they firing working class people. Your thoughts? You get the last word. I got to jump.
Here, all I want to say is it's time for a revolution, America. Wake up, people. Take back your government.
Thank you very much. Let me end by saying this. If you want to find me online, it's Garland Nixon on Facebook. That's N-I-X-O-N. Garland.Nixon on Instagram. At Garland N on Telegram. You can email me my first name and the first letter of my last name, Garland N, the letter N, at gmail.com. And I have a YouTube show. You can watch my YouTube show. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, everybody. Thank you very much for Katia. Thank you very much for Cody, our new, our new employee, intern. Engineer, awesome. Oh, Cody. Thanks a lot, Cody. I'm out.
God.